This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2018, held in Harrisonburg, Virginia on March 2 and 3.
Well, good afternoon. I have always enjoyed these meetings. I've enjoyed this one up until now. Somehow, 4 months ago when Linford asked me if I could do this, I was like, yeah, I reckon this could be done. But suddenly when it's time to do it, it's like, what am I doing up here? You walk into these meetings and you see all these older people and all this wisdom. It's like, what do I have to tell you folks? But anyway, I hope we can learn together. I've enjoyed listening to other people, so now I guess it's my turn to take a turn at serving in this role. I am not one of the known speakers at these events. This is the first one I've had a part at. I'll just give you a brief background, a little bit of my history as a school board member. I never had aspirations to be on a school board. It wasn't one of the things on my bucket list to do. But having said that, it didn't come as a surprise that I was asked to serve this way. My dad served multiple terms as a school board member. I'm not sure if he was ever a chairman. My wife's dad served multiple terms. So it's been part of my background. It's been part of my growing up years to know that certain nights of the week, Dad had this meeting and I'd go to bed and he wasn't home yet. Maybe you've had a dad that did that too. And it's amazing some of the memories that stick to you from childhood. I remember one decision, it wasn't a popular decision, that was attributed to my dad, and it stuck with me ever since, but this will tell my age, but do you all remember those little baseballs? It was a sponge ball, but it was the size of a baseball. And if I remember right, the way you got these was you would collect enough cornflakes, box tops, and then you would send them to Kellogg's. They would send you these little sponge balls, the size of a baseball, but it was soft. Well, anyway, the high schoolers would play baseball with these things, and they could hit them almost a country mile. I mean, they would just sail, and they were getting balls all the way to the schoolhouse. So the school board, at one of their meetings, said, okay, this is enough. We're going to go to regulation softballs. And as you can imagine, that wasn't a popular decision. And I remember one high schooler, he made some degrading remark about my dad being the one to make that decision. I don't think that was the case, but that's an interesting tidbit from my childhood that I remember about my dad being a school board member. So, if you don't remember that, that probably means that you're younger than I am. I guess I would like to ask a few questions here to start. I would like to know a little bit about my audience, to know a little bit the types of school boards that you are all involved with. How many here today serve on a school board of three or less people? Okay, just a few of you. There's no shame in admitting this. I'm just trying to get a feel of where we're at, excuse me, as to what size of schools and the organization that we have. How many serve on a board of more than three? Okay, more than five. All right, we have a few. And I suppose they've always used odd numbers simply because there's never a tie vote. I don't know. I have served on a committee that was four people. That's not usually the way it is. Our school has a board of five. You're elected for a term, which is 5 years. And you cannot succeed yourself, so that means you need to have a break before they can re-elect you. In 2006 school year, well, let me back up. We have six children. They are anywhere from 3 to 17 years old. That's the range of our family. So when our oldest son started school, as soon as that happens, it suddenly means you're fair game to put on the school board. So that's when I was elected. So I served a 5-year term. was off for 1 year and then was reelected. So right now I'm finishing up that second term. Hopefully I get a longer break this time. I think I should this time because I was ordained deacon, so I'm assuming they'll have a little grace for that. All right, talking about teams, we talk of a team of horses. That can be as few as two. Or if you live in Lancaster County, you can have a team of six, maybe eight. I'm always amazed at how those Amish men can guide those teams. When we think of teams, a lot of times we think of sports. We live in a sports-crazy culture, and you don't even have to be interested in sports until you're bombarded with Super Bowl or the World Series or something. And then it's amazing how many analogies to teamwork we draw from the sports industry, I call it. And I don't plan to go there today. I plan to take my examples from the Bible. But teams are built from people with different strengths. You don't assemble a football team out of all fast running backs. You need your linebacker. So as you look at a school board, you need people with different strengths. And those strengths, as they come together, carry something that is stronger than the individual sum of all the parts. I may mention that a few times throughout this discussion. A team is assembled of people with different talents and different gifts. Just a few biblical examples. Noah and his sons, I'm sure, made some type of a team. For them to build that ark, they had to have some teamwork. There were probably some days that Noah looked at the next phase of that ark and said, you know, it just can't be done. But his son said, yeah, Dad, we can do this. We'll figure it out. We'll get this beam, we'll put the props, we'll get it in place. Together they got it done, I'm sure, with the help of a lot of other people. I'm reminded of the instance of Moses and Jethro. Moses was trying to be a one-man team, and it wasn't working. His father-in-law paid him a visit, and he observed him for a day, and he said, you know, Moses, this isn't going to work. You're going to burn out. The people that you're trying to serve won't get the best care. They won't get their answers. They won't get justice. So he said, you need to set up this plan. And Moses did it, and it worked. So there we have teamwork. Worked out very well. I do have some handouts here today, and you have to excuse these for what they are. I did not come prepared with handouts, but as I looked over my notes, I realized that if I pulled pages 2 and 3 together, it would be something that I could pass out to you all. So overlook the punctuation and the grammar. It was my own personal notes. All right, I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about assembling the team. And Edmund, you'll have to forgive me if I steal from some of your notes because you talked about this morning some of the same things I want to go over. I'm glad that we're on the same wavelength with some of the things that we have. Different communities assemble their school board in a different way. And I'm not here to cast any reflection if you do it in a different manner than what we do. Some communities have an open nomination where they just take nominations from the entire congregation and they have a slate. Whoever gets the highest vote becomes the new school board member. Some years ago, a brother at our church said he thinks that we ought to do that. And I was pretty inexperienced in the school board workings at that time. And I thought, yeah, that could probably work. Some years later now, I'm glad that our community doesn't do that. In our community, we have a prepared slate. The ministerial body will sit down when it's time to elect a school board member. Depending on which position it is, will determine a little bit the pool of people that we nominate for that slate. Of course, then we approach each person. I ask them if they're willing to serve on that slate. If they say they are, then that slate goes to the three different congregations that make up our school, that support our school, and the new school board member is elected from that slate. And this is kind of important because you need qualified people for specific jobs. And your job descriptions may be different in your school. I can only give you what I have experience with. And I will say this, I came onto our local school board. It had been an established school for many years. So there were a lot of decisions that were already made I did not have to make. There are advantages to stepping into something like that that's established. Consequently, maybe there are some things that we do because we've always done it that way that we could improve. So if you're starting a new school, maybe there's some things you can learn here about getting your school board off on a better foot than what ours is. But we have five positions on our school board. We have a chairman, then we have a secretary. The secretary is responsible to take accurate records of all the meetings. We have a treasurer that takes care of the financial end of everything that happens. He pays the teachers, he pays the bills. We have a trustee member who is also a joint member of our trustee committee. So he is the liaison between the school board and the trustee committee. And then we have a ministerial advisor. And that ministerial advisor has no other position other than being the connection between the ministerial body and our school board. So I'm sure your school boards probably have some variation of that, if not that exact thing, something similar to that. And I'm not saying that it can't work if you have one person that wears a number of those hats. That can be the case sometimes. All right, I did want to say, going into here, that I invite your comments, your discussions, your questions. Always felt I was a better discussion leader than a lecturer, but as I prepared for this, it seemed that it came together a little bit more as a lecture. I'm not really happy with that. I'd like to have your input. So if at any point you have some pertinent comment or question, raise your hand or just interrupt. I'm fine with that either way. All right, I didn't tell you about the one example of teamwork that I had on my paper here, but if you looked at your notes, you probably saw where it came from. And that's Nehemiah. Now, I was really amazed. This morning, I sat down to polish this talk a little bit, and I started looking at all these points that I had, and I thought, well, I'll look for supporting scriptures, and don't you know, every one was found in Nehemiah. There's something in the book of Nehemiah, in that very interesting story, that I found that relates to every one of these points that I have here of performing as a team. So some of them may overlap a little bit, and if we don't get over every one of them, that's fine. You can take these with you. You can look at them, and if you ever need to do an in-depth study on how to operate your school board, I'd say do a book study on Nehemiah. You'll probably get most of your questions answered. All right, let's move right into this. Performing as a team. We already talked about the team. We talked about the positions within that team. So number one relates a little bit to that. Have clearly defined roles. If you're starting from the ground floor, establishing a school board, you can do that right now. You can establish the chairman with his responsibilities. You can establish the secretary with his responsibilities. You can spell out those duties very specifically. If you don't do that, sometimes you have the problem where jobs overlap, and then it's a judgment call. Does the secretary take the notes and also pay the bills, or does the treasurer pay the bills and also take some of the minutes of the meeting? So clearly define your roles. The verses I have for that is taken from Nehemiah 3, verse 1, 2, and 3. It says, then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren the priests, and they built the sheep gate. We'll skip down to verse 2. And next unto him builded the men of Jericho, and next to them builded Zachar the son of Imri. But the fish gate did the sons of Hasaniah build, who also laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. So you have these specific jobs, these specific sections of this wall were being built by specific people. And it seems that the people that built the fish gate might have had some extra skills that the others didn't have, because it says that they laid the beams, they installed the doors, they put in the locks, and they put the bars up. They weren't just wall builders, but they had a specific role. They had specific gifts that they could do. So as you assemble your school board, as you assign your roles, clearly define those positions. Now, the chairman needs to know what his responsibilities are. When we have a meeting and there's some repair that needs done to some playground equipment, all I need to do is say, Barton, you're going to take care of this because Barton's our trustee. Yep, it'll get done. So I can just erase that from my memory. I don't need to take care of that. Barton's been assigned to do that job. He does it well. So I can say, okay, I can trust that this will get done because it's been assigned to him. And he knows that's his responsibility. Now, if it's a $500 repair and we have authorized him to make any repairs without authorization up to that amount, then he can go and do that. But if it's a $1,500 repair and he does that without coming and talking to the rest of us, then he's overstepped his bounds. So see, those boundaries have to be in place there. And as long as you have them clearly defined, everybody can operate with freedom within those respective spheres. And I think that's important. It clears up a lot of confusion, and it also creates freedom. It allows people to fulfill their responsibilities without a lot of extra work on the part of all the other board members. Ambiguity creates confusion. And this planning that Nehemiah did bore results, because this wall was built in a record time. It's amazing how fast this wall came together. All right, I better keep track of time here, or I'll run over. Let's move on to number two. Communicates with confidence. Now, if you talk to my wife, she'll probably say this is my weak point. I don't communicate real well. I don't know if that's just a male thing or not, but you need to communicate. Good team players might silently get the work done, but they don't speak up. And if they would speak up, sometimes there are better ways to do things. Usually the newest member to the school board often tends to be the quietest. That's not always the case, but he has to learn how he fits into this thing before he feels confident sharing his opinions. Nehemiah faced this. If you remember the story, Nehemiah received troubling news from Jerusalem, and it affected his countenance. And the king noticed that. Nehemiah didn't physically communicate. Well, I guess he did physically communicate it. He didn't verbally communicate it to the king. But the king said, "Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart." So then Nehemiah went on and explained to the king why he was feeling the way he was. He explained why this news affected him like it did. He said, "The city's lying in ruins." And then I guess the king, he said all this, and then he goes on, and then the king asks him what he wants to do. And Nehemiah clearly articulated to the king his desire to take a team, go back to Jerusalem, or go to Jerusalem, and help them rebuild this wall. So you need to communicate. Communicate your ideas honestly. Communicate them clearly. Be respectful of how you communicate your ideas. But don't be afraid to talk. That's what a school board is all about. It's about people sharing ideas with a common goal. And as they share those ideas and as they mingle together, a clear sense of direction, a clear sense of purpose can be achieved. It needs to be done constructively, it needs to be done respectfully, but as we communicate, a lot of ideas can be merged into a common goal that can allow the board to move forward. Here, number three, allow people to develop talent. I mentioned that depending on which position is being filled on our school board depends on how the slate is prepared. Sometimes someone may be elected that you're not sure where their gift lies. And they need to be given time, they need to be given the environment to shine with whatever gifts they have. And I'm not sure how to do that. That sounds like something that's trial and error, and I don't think that should be the way it is. I'll use this for an example. The first term that I was elected on the school board, I was elected as a secretary. And I inherited a paper financial system that was not in shambles, but it wasn't the most organized. The best thing that came out of that misorganization was that suddenly $20,000 that wasn't realized showed up in the checking account. That's always a plus. But anyway, I took that paper system and I computerized it, put it on QuickBooks. It took a while to do that, but it was greatly appreciated. But now, every time we elect that treasurer, we look for someone that actually has some computer skills, someone that can actually run QuickBooks. Is that a plus? Is that a minus? It does kind of limit the pool of people that you can pull from. But yet I think it contributes to the efficiency of the school and the efficiency of its operation. So sometimes you have to elect people and let them find the role that they fit best. when we elect a treasurer, he fulfills that responsibility for the full 5-year term. Some of the other positions will change around. They can. And in Nehemiah, we have some strange job descriptions coming together building this wall. Nehemiah 3, verse 8, there were goldsmiths, which is very, very delicate work. They were building a wall out of these humongous stones. Maybe that was fun for a change. They didn't have to tap this gold out into tiny shapes. They could just put big rocks in place. I don't know. Sometimes I like to do something completely different. There were apothecaries building a big stone wall. There were ladies building this stone wall. It talks about, what was his name here? Shallum, the son of Holohesh. He was a ruler. It says he and his daughters, they worked on this wall. So we see different peoples from different backgrounds came together with different gifts. And they might have developed some talents that they didn't have otherwise. So recognize talents, recognize abilities where they are, but also give your members, your school board members, a chance to develop gifts that they may not, that you may not know that they have. Any thoughts or questions so far? I feel like I'm on a roll and just keep rambling on, but if you have thoughts, comments, please feel free to voice them as we move along. I'd like to stop and just give you time now and then to have your input.
School board, I'd give an admonition to have an opinion and be able to articulate that respectfully.
Okay. That's a school board should be open enough and free enough of a platform that people can voice opinions without feeling they'll be shut down. It may not be the opinion of everybody, and it may not actually be the decisions that's made. But nevertheless, there should be the freedom there to voice your opinion in whatever it is. I had another point here. Maybe we'll get to that a little later on that relates to that. But yes, don't be afraid to share your opinion. And if your position is the chairman, be respectful and give the appropriate time for people to express their opinions. Don't just shut the conversation down and move on, but wait till the discussion, whatever it is, wait till all the opinions are discussed. That way there's a fair airing of everyone's views on a certain subject. All right, number 4 is being reliable. This is an important one. This is something that should be given consideration when you're assembling the school board team. Is the person that's being nominated reliable? Do they show consistency? If they're nominated for the secretary, will the notes be accurately kept? Will they be recorded accurately? The most recent secretary we have, when he came on board, he took the current notes and he went back for quite a ways, compiled them all into a searchable document. And you don't know what a blessing that is, because now when we have a question about something that was decided long ago, he can type that in, search it, and go back into the minutes wherever that was. Before it was, do we have those pages with us tonight? Well, probably not. Does anybody even know where they are? Probably not. So that's a wonderful thing. He was reliable. And as you're looking for a team player, look on, for someone that's consistently reliable. You can count on them being on time. They'll get the job done. You don't have to worry about coming back to the next meeting and finding out that, oh, no, this didn't get done. And I'll confess that there are some times that as I went over the minutes of the last meeting, I realized, here's the job I didn't get done. So that's a reminder to hastily get it done or just acknowledge that you forgot. Frustration builds when jobs or duties are assigned and then forgotten. Nehemiah was threatened with attempts on his life. And his comment was, he said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that being as I am would go into the temple to save his life? It will not go in. He was reliable. He was not afraid of these threats. He was committed to getting the job done. and a few idle threats from Sam Violet and his cohorts wasn't going to be enough to stop him. So if you're a team player, if you're chosen to be on a board, be reliable. Take your duty seriously and be consistent with the job description that you're given. Number five, it's kind of important. And I just termed it, be a 110% player. I'm sure you've dropped the ball already. It's just part of human nature. And if you only ever do what you're called on to do, and someone drops the ball, then suddenly there's a gap. So if you can be committed to being a 110% player, then when someone else drops the ball, maybe you can cover for them. Likewise, someday it'll be your turn and you'll drop the ball, and if someone else is playing 110%, they can cover for you. All of us have our weaknesses. We all try to give our best, but we're human, and we know that just doesn't always happen. I used to talk about a marriage being a 50-50 marriage. Well, you know that never is going to work. It takes 100% from either party, and then a marriage can actually work. What do you do if someone isn't a 110% player? I don't know. That's a discussion that's maybe open-ended, hard to come up with a conclusion on. This morning's discussion talked about when and how you release a board member from their responsibilities, and that's not an easy thing to do. No real easy way to go about it unless you've got something spelled out of a way that you actually go about doing that. I've been blessed by always having good board members. It may take us a long time sometimes to get a decision made, but eventually we'll get there. And the relationships that you develop as you work closely with however many other men are on your board, it's invaluable. It really helps you establish some relationships. And the verse I had there was from Nehemiah 3, verse 20. It talks about Barak, the son of Zabai. It says he earnestly repaired the other piece. That tells me he put his whole heart into it, possibly a little bit more. He didn't just repair, but he did what he had to do, and I think he went over and above. Went beyond the call of duty. By the same token, I think we need to be careful as we delegate responsibilities that we don't overburden any individual board member. There's sometimes, after the trustee list is completed, I think, wow, that's a long list. I hope he's got some help to get all that done. And if sometimes you feel like your list is too long, well, then that's the time to have an open conversation about possibly sharing out some of the duties. And that probably is the chairman's responsibility to make sure that the jobs are getting allocated properly. Granted, there are other people that could do some of the trustee work. And if it's too much, then maybe find another volunteer to help do some of that. Sometimes there's phone calls that need to be made. It's too much for one person to do. Split it up. Have a couple people do this so that we can avoid burning out any one team player. That's part of looking after each other, looking out for the welfare of the other board members on your team. Number six I have here, do not overstep your authority. And that might be a repeat from one of the other points that I had. As I read through Nehemiah, I looked at some verses there. As Nehemiah made his request to the king, he asked for some specific things. He knew that there were things he needed to make these repairs in Jerusalem. And he said to the king, can you give me letters to give to these people that have the raw materials that I need? A letter to the keeper of the king's forest so he could get timber. He wanted beams for the gates of the palace. So he wasn't going to just assume that he could go and take these items. He went through the proper channels. He didn't overstep his authority. He went to the king and asked the king for these specific things that he needed. So as you're working as a team, as you're working within your designated responsibility, be careful that you do not overstep that authority. Make sure that you go through the proper channels. And maybe here's where I'll pull in the team member that we normally have that's from the ministerial body. Sometimes there are situations that you're not sure exactly how to handle because it may involve something that is more of a church level issue. And those are the times that we need to use some discretion. Sometimes the board can feel that it has a handle on the situation and knows what needs to be done. But if it involves something as maybe a standard violation on the church level, be careful that you don't overstep those bounds. Make sure that you go through the proper channels. Clear it with the ministry first. If they realize that this is a problem that they really need to handle, then it just relieves you of that responsibility. You can go on about the affairs of the school. Let the ministerial team take care of that other issue. If they say no, they think it relates to the function within the school, then they have delegated that authority back to you. You're allowed to work within the realms and within the parameters they have set for you. Maybe we'll take the time here. I have there at the bottom of that point, discuss delegate versus relegate. And I thought I knew the difference between those words. It's not quite as clear as what you might think. Because if you look up those definitions, you think they overlap, but in some ways they don't. Does someone want to give me a definition for delegate?
A point,
okay.
Empower.
What was that?
Empower.
Okay, empower.
Hand off.
Okay, now you're almost getting to relegate. I'm not sure. See, that's where I came into. I looked up those words. Let me just give you a couple examples here. I can find the right paper. One definition of delegate is to transfer power to someone. So if there's a job that needs done, I can delegate it to someone and say, here, you do this job. I'm going to empower you to go do this job. One of the examples for the word relegate was this sentence. She likes to relegate difficult questions to her colleagues. Now, you can take that a couple ways. Is she empowering her colleagues to make that decision? Or is she too lazy to make the decision? And she's just saying, you relegate it to them. I think one way I've heard that word used was if there's some unused object. When you say you're going to relegate that to the dump pile, you just kind of set it aside. So if you want to study those words out sometime, I challenge you to do that. But I think you can use either one, possibly the same. But delegate has more to do with appointing someone to do a job. Relegate has a little bit more of the idea that it's not important enough for me to do it, I'll let someone else do it. I stand corrected on that. Maybe someone has some input on that. So yes, if you're a school board chairman, be careful what you delegate versus relegate. I'll leave it at that. All right, let's get back to where I was in my notes. All right, number 7, adapts quickly and easily. Great team players don't passively sit on the sidelines and see change happen. Be observant, and that means you need to visit school. And that is a tough thing to get done as often as it needs to be done, just to take the time to visit school. And you'd be surprised how anxious your teachers actually are to have you come visit. They just enjoy that extra support. They enjoy having someone there. Not that you're looking over their shoulder, not that you're checking up to see if they're doing things right. They just enjoy the support. Nehemiah 4, verse 16. They had received this threat that Sanballat was going to come and disrupt the wall. He was going to stop the progress. Nehemiah adapted very quickly. It says, and it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. So we see here that Nehemiah quickly adapted to this threat. He didn't just panic and shut the whole thing down and say, all right, nobody's working until we find these guys. He said, no, we'll keep on working, but we're going to delegate half of you to the job of protection. We're going to arm you. Your job is just as important as the builders, but you're to be on the watch. You're to be watching for anything, any threat that comes that would delay this and disrupt this building project. So be observant. Different. You can never tell what scenarios will pop up in school. It can be things that you never envisioned. Sometimes the things you do fear never materialize, but what you never see happening broadsides you. So be willing to adapt. Be flexible. Don't think that everything has to happen the same way, the same time, every time. And you'll hear all kinds of things. Your children will bring one story home, and if you question the teacher, it'll be a different story. So don't trust everything you hear. Don't rely only on the reports you hear from your children, or even the ones from other parents, but take the time, visit the school yourself. The things that happen, sometimes when the school board member's there, then all of a sudden the problems disappear. They're not there anymore. It's like trying to chase the invisible whatever. You can't ever find it. But adapt quickly and easily. Don't be stuck in a rut. Try to be able to move from situation to situation. Don't get stuck in a rut. All right, number 8, we talked a little bit about this, sharing your honest opinion. No school board enjoys disagreements. We don't enjoy differing opinions that take us nowhere. But it's commonly said that if no one disagrees, it means no one is thinking. So sometimes the way you see things is not the way someone else sees them. And the perspective you have is different than someone else's perspective. And that doesn't mean that either one of you is totally right. It doesn't mean that either one of you is totally wrong. But you'll never come to that mutual point of agreement if you don't discuss. If you don't have honest dialogue. I don't know, some of you come from small communities, some come from larger communities. If you come from a larger community, there's probably families within your sphere of influence that you're closer to. And if you hear only their side of the story, well, that's not a disadvantage. You'll hear things from your group of friends. Another school board member may have a different group of friends, and the stories that he hears gives him a different perspective. So as you can pull all those perspectives together, suddenly that gives you a much broader base to base your decisions on. And that's one of the benefits of a community that's broader. It's a benefit of having multiple school board members. It gives you a much broader information base to base these decisions on. So if you've heard a rumor of some sort that's detrimental to the school's morale, and in a school board meeting, you never voice that. Well, suddenly there's this rumor that's being circulated that, unsubstantiated or not, nevertheless is there. And by bringing all that to the table, it helps the board make a uniform decision about whatever aspect you're dealing with. Anytime there's a decision that needs to be made, if it's of some import, I like to wait until I've heard all the school board members present at least voice their opinion on it. And by our very nature, some of us are quieter than others. You can almost predict sometimes which will be the first board member to say his opinion, and you can almost predict who will be the last to do it. That's just the way we're made up. But if you're a chairman, I think you should wait until everyone has had their say. Some people just need a little prodding to come forth with how they're thinking. And sometimes the people that are the slowest to talk have the deepest insight. That's wise. I appreciate that input. Does this class be over 3:45? Pacing on here. Number 9 was my final point. Be a problem solver, not a problem dweller. Nehemiah faced a lot of problems, but if you read the story, you'll notice he didn't dwell on the problems. He figured out a way to solve them. And we've recently been working with some issues in our school. And we got to the end of the one meeting, and the one school board member said, you know, it seems like we spend 80% of the time focusing on 20% of the problem. And I think he made the comment to the effect that, you know, if we could dedicate that amount of time to actually pushing the school forward in other avenues, how much could we get done? And I know that's idealistic, because the very nature of a school board is when the problems come up, here's where they land. So don't get discouraged because it seems like you're always dealing with problems. That's the nature of the job. But I would challenge you to think about how much time you actually spend dealing with the problems. Can they be solved? Can they be resolved? And can you spend that time doing something more productive? It's too bad it took me to the last year of this term to figure out that I need to work on that. So maybe you can start from that premise and move on. Take your school board farther than what I have, because you take the time to figure out how to solve the problems and then spend the time being productive. Nehemiah did that. He figured out how to solve the problem. There was another instance here where the people came to Nehemiah and said, you know, we're being charged excessive usury. Well, it didn't take him long. He sat down with the elders and he said, restore them this land, restore them their vineyard. And he had a reasonable solution, and the people accepted it. They said, we will restore them. We'll require nothing of them. So will we do as thou sayest. So try to properly portion the time that you have between the problems and between moving the school's agenda on. And sometimes it will seem like it's all one-sided, but maybe after that problem's resolved, you feel like you can move on and actually progress and move the school's program further down the road. So properly functioning board is greater than the sum of all its members. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. And I think that's a good description of the school board. It's different members with different gifts. They're all knit together. They're all working towards one common goal. Teamwork on the school board is as critical. I don't know how many of you know the history of the Iditarod race in Alaska, but that's a 1,000-mile dog sled race commemorated every year, and it commemorates an original race to save lives. In January of 1926, 6-year-old Richard Stanley showed symptoms of diphtheria, signaling the possibility of an outbreak in the small town of Nome. When the boy passed away a day later, Dr. Curtis Welch began immunizing children and adults with an experimental but effective anti-diphtheria serum. But it wasn't long until Dr. Welch's supply ran out. And the nearest serum was in Nenana, Alaska, 1,000 miles of frozen wilderness away. So this group of prospectors, they volunteered to cover this distance. They started operating in relays with their teams. And one sled started out from Nome, while another in carrying the serum started from Nenana. And those two teams mushed around the clock until they reached that center point. They transferred the serum on, and within 144 hours after that emergency was noted, the serum transferred from there, from Nenana to Nome. And as a result of that, only one other life was lost to the potential epidemic. Their sacrifice had given an entire town the gift of life. So there you see how teamwork paid off. One dog sled team together could not have done that. But as those teams worked together, as they had their common goal, suddenly the sum was greater than all the parts. So as you work together in whatever organization you have, whatever school board you're part of, just remember that. If you can work together as a team, you'll accomplish lots more than if you try to work as a one-man team. So God bless each of you. I'm sure some of you are probably dealing with tough situations. Have patience. Work together as a team, and I'm sure that God will somehow give you the grace, the direction you need to find your way through those situations. Thank you. You're dismissed.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.